Psalm 140, and we'll read the first six verses. Psalm 140. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips, Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have proposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me, Selah. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. And let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word, Father. Please give us understanding and tools that we can put in our spiritual toolbox and use when, Lord, when things get a little rough. Help us not to be controlled by our emotions. And Lord, thank you for the counsel of your word. What a wonderful God. And Lord, you've given us such a wonderful book. Please help us tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to come back to this. Psalm 140 has a wonderful story behind it. I'd like you to keep your finger there. We'll come back to it. But can you go to the New Testament? Go to the book of James. Go to the book of James, chapter 3, the famous chapter in the Bible on the tongue. Tonight I'll give you a couple of points on how to handle criticism. How do you handle criticism? And there's a lot in the Bible on this. You say, who's criticizing? I don't know. As far as I know, nobody is. You understand? I think everybody's doing wonderful and serving the Lord and loving Jesus like we should. But it's going to happen. You say, how do you know that? When you look at James chapter 3, look at verse number 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. Watch this. That it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. This little phrase, it, the tongue, is set on fire of hell. That says the most dangerous part of our fellowship is our tongue. And God says what causes the most damage is the tongue. Look at the next verse. Look at verse number 7. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Look at verse number 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now that means if no man can tame the tongue, that means all of us then are going to make mistakes. That means that there's no such thing as a Christian who has not said hurtful things or has not heard something that was hurtful. Some have said more hurtful things than others, which mean others have been hurt more than others. But everybody has said something that they shouldn't have said. Because the tongue, God says, nobody can tame. Some are better at it than others because they work at it. But the tongue can no man tame. If you understood this, when you read Proverbs, it says life and death are in the power of the tongue. This little thing right here has the power to give life and encourage, and it has the power to destroy. So please be careful, Christian. As a Christian, that means all of us need to be careful. A wonderful truth is this. How do you control your tongue? You yield to the Holy Spirit before you talk. Did you ever hear your dad say, engage your brain before you talk? I think it goes further than that. Yeah, you're supposed to think before you open your mouth, but especially when you're in sticky situations. Don't just blurt out what you feel. Stop, yield to the Holy Spirit, and say, dear God, help me not say anything with my tongue that you don't want me to say. Help me not say things that I'm going to be sorry for later. And that's the only way I have found as a Christian to get victory and to get help in this area of the tongue. Now, because God says no man can tame it, and it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison, go back to Psalm 140, Psalm 140 was penned when David was being chased like an animal by Saul. And several psalms have the theme of David dealing with someone hating him and obviously talking bad about him. Some of the psalms are when David's own son was trying to take the throne. So you're dealing with treason and the betrayal of your own family member and those closest to you that you love hurting you. And David, God has used of David to pen those. Here in Psalm 140, he is being talked badly about, and the whole thing is a prayer, and we read part of it. Now, I'm going to refer to this, and we'll look at it later, but just listen to this. When you read Psalm 7, we'll get into Psalm 140 here in just a second. Psalm 7 says this, Shigeon, which is a large praise of David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. That's the only time you read of Cush. Cush is the rest of the time mentioned in Genesis. You say, okay, what's the big deal? Cush was Saul's ear for his hatred for David. And I think David dealing with the turmoil of, this man invited me to the palace, said, play for me, David. Oh, I'm going to go to your dad. He goes to Jesse and said, would you let David come and live at the palace? I'll treat him like my own son. I'll love him like my own son. And so David is playing. And then, of course, the story of David and Goliath and how David got to kill Goliath and God delivered it. And then Saul's jealousy, and this jealousy has just been mounting. And then David's going, how'd we go from the same guy that invited me to the palace and loved me is now the same guy that's trying to kill me? How'd we go? I mean, can you imagine the mental turmoil he's going through? And in Psalm 7, he says this, just listen, O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest He tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. Verse 6, Arise, O Lord, in Thy anger, lift up Thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that Thou hast commanded. When I read verse 10, it's such an encouragement to me. My defense is of God. Before we get into Psalm 140, the day is coming when someone's going to talk bad about you. What do you do in the day of your life when somebody says, I'm going to destroy you? I'm going to destroy your business. I'm going to destroy your reputation. Because it happens. I hope that after tonight's message, you could have some sections in the Bible that you run to. I think Psalm 140, and you pray accordingly. You could run to Psalm 7 and pray accordingly. But what do you do when somebody criticizes you, speaks against you, and in this day and age, maybe writes something on the internet against you? You're at Psalm 140. When you look at verse number 3, they have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. David was physically exhausted. He was running, hiding in caves, but he was also mentally and emotionally exhausted. I can say this. I've been exhausted before. I've been tired. I've stayed up all night sometime and things, but I don't know of anything that wears me out more than criticism. I don't know. My wife and I have talked about it. It's like, man, we can work ourselves to death and do this. It only takes one person. Oh, I hate that color. Oh, what's that doing there? Oh, this is so stupid. You know, a better way to do this is, and then it just goes on and on, and nothing weighs. You've poured yourself into it. You've given it what you had, and nobody's perfect. But then to have somebody come in and just, oh, I hate that color. Oh my goodness. I found this at, and you know, all of us are going to shoot our mouth off. But sometimes it just keeps going and going and going. David here is the victim of Saul's tongue. He's physically exhausted, but he's also mentally and emotionally exhausted. He's having to deal with the hatred of the man who called him. And David makes word mention of the words of the critic. They have sharpened their tongues like a servant, like a serpent. David here has to learn how to deal with criticism. He says their words were sharp, their words were painful, they were sharpened, and they made him sick. And that's the poison in the verse. What's it say there? It says, like adder's poison is under their lips. When they speak, it just makes me sick. It makes me feel ill. It disturbs me. Everybody has to learn how to handle criticism. It's a part of life. Number one, how do you handle criticism? I think number one, always consider the accuracy of the criticism. Always consider the accuracy of the criticism. If I read Proverbs 8:33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Sometimes people praise you so they can cut you. Other times it would be good if, even when I'm criticized, and I watch this, I have no problem with, you know, Pastor, have you considered this? Have you done this? Or you know, hey, when we did this this way. I love ideas. I love ideas. Normally it's the spirit about which they're brought about, but I have no problem with different ideas. But you never want to immediately reject criticism. In other words, just because it's negative, you never block it out. It's like, I didn't want to hear that. Just like you would never want to accept all praise, you should never automatically shut off all criticism. You need to be very careful about all the praise that you listen to. There's an old statement and it goes like this, ain't nobody that good. You understand? Ain't nobody that good. Just like you wouldn't listen to all the praise that somebody gives you, don't be so quick to just shut it off and say, well, that's negative, so I'm not going to think about it. Wait a second. You never want... There is such a thing as constructive criticism. Sometimes there's truth in the criticism that you can benefit from. Now, we might have liked it from an easier source, or, I think one of the worst things you can seek in the world is sympathy. Sometimes the help doesn't come with a hug and a pat on the back, and you're precious, you're just precious, okay? That doesn't come all the time, all right? That is why sometimes there is truth in criticism. That's why God says, listen, Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes a friend will tell you the negative that nobody else is willing to risk and tell you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So you consider it. Sometimes the truth hurts, and it takes a friend to tell you. If you think about it, all a financial consultant or any type of consultant does is there's someone hired to critique or find a fault that could damage you and tell you about it. That's what a counselor does. That's financial counseling. Here, look at my finances and tell me where I'm doing wrong. Criticize me based on my performance. We sometimes pay people to critique us. Okay? We sometimes pay for it. Why? Because we don't want to continue doing things wrong in a certain way. Sometimes there's a grain of truth in the criticism and it can be very helpful. You know, they say the difference between winning ball teams, I don't care if it's baseball, basketball, football, winning teams are those that normally have a way of adjusting by their flaws. The losing teams keep doing the same thing over and over again. But after a game, then they gather in the room, they watch the game. Oop, made a mistake there. Yeah, shouldn't have handled the ball that way. Oh, yeah, did that. And then they'll adjust the next game. And they have the ability to do what? Study their mistakes, then change. And God says criticism can help us if you'll take it. And so, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Number two, how do you handle criticism? I think this is so important. Consider the source. I said number one, consider the accuracy of the criticism. Number two, consider the source. And if we had time, as a matter of fact, we do. Go to 2 Samuel. Take your Bible, go to 2 Samuel chapter 18, and look at verse number 27 and verse number 26. This is the sad chapter where Absalom gets killed. This is King David's son, heir to the throne. He's risen up against his father, and Absalom gets caught in a tree with his long hair, and they run him through with spears. And now the news needs to be brought to David. Ahimaaz is going to start riding towards the king, and you look at verse number 26, and the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, "Behold, another man running alone." And the king said, "He also bringeth tidings." And the watchman said, "Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king, King David, said, "He is a good man and cometh with good tidings." So Ahimaaz is coming to the king. They say, "There's somebody running. Who is it? Looks like Ahimaaz. And the king said, "Let him come. That's a good man. That's a good man. And he's going to tell us good tidings." Here's what I'd like you to notice about that verse. King David said about Ahimaaz, Ahimaaz's reputation preceded his words. Excuse me. He sees Ahimaaz and he says, because of what he is, I know that what he's going to say is going to be good. Sometimes you need to consider the source. Ahimaaz had a good reputation. Excuse me. And because King David said, because he's a good man, what he's going to say will be worth hearing. What he says will have credit because of who he is. The opposite is true and also needs to be considered. When a critic talks, sometimes their reputation makes you think twice. You can dismiss what certain people say because of their reputation. You say, "Well, that's kind of rough." Listen, it's not your fault that they have a bad reputation. If they're known for that, that's not your fault. But I think you need to consider the source when you're being criticized. There are some criticisms that come my way, I expect it. And honestly, I wouldn't expect anything out of that certain person's mouth other than anything that's negative. I expect it. My wife and I were talking sometime, and this was a while back, and she got hurt by some words, and I've been hurt too. I think all of us have. And when my wife and I were talking about it, I said, "Hun, did you expect any different? When was the last time?" This is ways back. I said, "When was the last time anything positive has ever come out of that person's mouth? They have a reputation. They're not known for being great encouragers of the brethren. They're not known for being spirit-filled speakers." I said, "They're known for being critics." Sometimes you expect it. And if you're considering the source, you expect it. You see, sometimes I wouldn't expect anything else from them, and I consider it, but most of the time I dismiss it because of the source. Because of their reputation, there is no merit in losing any sleep over what they say. There are some criticisms that come my way, I do take it to heart because I know the person giving it loves the Lord and the Word of God, and their life shows it. When you consider the source of who's criticizing you, have you ever asked this question? Do they go to church? Are they faithful to church? Do they go soul winning? Do they love the Lord? If the question is no, then yeah, I probably expect them to live in the flesh. Then what they say is going to be negative, and here we go, you need to learn to let it roll off your back. You need to learn to not consider it. Consider the source. Why do you care about what people put about you on the internet? We live in a weird day. They said social media is driving America. It drives America. It's not like an aspect. It drives America. "Did you see what they printed about me? Did you? No, I didn't. I don't do Facebook. We have a Facebook account. I accidentally set up one for myself because I didn't understand how to set up one for the church. So now Greg Nash has a Facebook account, and Gospel Light Baptist Church in Mechanicsville has a Facebook account. And I had one of the techs come here to the church, And they were visiting, and they shut off everything on Facebook. And so I get all these notifications, and whatever a poke is, beer, beer. You know, I look at a poke like near, near, near. You know, tapping you on the shoulder. You have pokes. You have this notification. You have, did you know it's so-and-so's birthday? No. And I hit delete. I don't go to my Facebook page. I don't go to it. I don't pay attention to it. I don't care what they put on Facebook. Somebody said, have you ever Googled yourself? You mean type in your name and Google yourself and see what's on the internet about you? Honestly, no, I could not imagine doing that. One, I couldn't think of anything more depressing. No, I'm not going to do that. Oh, but you ought to. See what's on the internet about you. No, I'm fine. I'm doing just fine. I'm doing just fine. I don't suggest anybody else do it either. Why does the social media matter? Look, can I just tell you something? You'll never read on the internet how many souls I had the privilege of leading to Christ last week. Because they don't care. You'll never read on the internet how many people the Lord will let me be a blessing to last week. They don't care. You'll never read anything good on the internet about me that I know of, because I didn't tell them. I'm sure that the only thing that's on the internet, like I said, I'm not going to Google myself. I would literally, I don't trust the internet. I would not want to do it. You know how come that they'll never print how many people I've led to the Lord or how many people I've been a blessing to last week? Because that doesn't sell. Sin sells. Sin sells, and it draws attention. You see, the media has really shown itself. All they exalt is socialism and Hillary and anything that's against Israel. If the media is, you know, I'm getting to the point now, if anything is against someone, I can't help but think that they're good because of how the media has lied. Literally. If they're against them, then I'm literally starting to think, you know, well, maybe that person is good. And if the media starts saying this person's bad and this if the media exalts somebody and says, oh, this is the person. I've never seen the media make such a big to-do over Hillary Clinton. I know they're off. I don't trust the news. I don't trust. If you're on the social media, could I just tell you, please be careful. Be so careful. I said, consider the source when you're criticized. Number three, don't develop a persecuted concept complex. Don't do that. As much as Jesus was hated, criticized, and opposed, there is never an instance in the Bible where He taught us to have a martyr's complex. After all the criticism the Savior went through, He never one time hung His head. They're talking about me. All of them are. The whole city. It's in an uproar. Guys, we got to pray about this. He never one time said, they're probably printing things about me. I mean, they're not like, but you know, I mean, they're writing things about me. He never got down about it. He never had a martyr's complex. Can I tell you this? Moses led the church in the wilderness and dealt with murmuring, critical, unthankful Jews that at times wanted to kill him. Anytime I'm criticized as a pastor, I always go, hey, I've had people criticize me. I've had people get skeptical with me and sarcastic with me. But I've never had anybody come to my office and go, we're going to kill you. And so in my head, I'm going, I haven't got as bad as Moses did. Glory to God. Yeah, I've been criticized before, but so what? Big deal. In other words, you have to learn to, watch this. When your kids are criticized at school, that is the opportunity to help them handle it and learn about life. Not run to the school. Did you know that they're bullying my kids? Now, I was bullied. I got beat up on the way to school. Three guys would meet me and, you know, knock the books out and all that. I got beat up at least once a year. You all did too, didn't you? No. Okay, I'm not for anybody getting bullied or anything else, but it was that part of my life too that where you learn you can't make everybody happy. You're going to tick somebody off. So choose who you want to make mad. Amen?
That's part of life. That's part of growing up. And as much as I'm not for anybody being bullied or anything like that, at the same time, part of that is what makes us what we are. And I'm normal. I mean, it didn't affect me. I'm trying to get you to think tonight. I'm trying to get you to think. I'm absolutely shocked at any time anything negative or critical comes into the child's life, then the parents are, my Oswald, you know. My child is gifted of God. My child never lies and is always inspired of God. You say, parents say that? I worked in a Christian school. I've seen parents out of control. I didn't say all of them are, but sometimes you need to let your kids handle the rough time. It's part of growing up. How else are they going to learn to, when they hear something or if something happens to them, not to get down and depressed and controlled by what somebody said or did to them? You keep on doing what God wants you to do. You keep living your life. When I learn our heritage and our history as Baptists and what our forefathers went through, it helps me not feel so down when I'm criticized. They were burned at the stake, beaten, pulled apart by horses. Boy, you study our heritage. Man, I'm blessed. There's no danger of that happening. It encourages me. If the criticism does depress you, listen to this closely. If criticism does depress you and makes you, then it should make you feel like your Christianity and your love for the Lord is weak. Because when will there be a time in your life when you're not going to be criticized somewhere along the way? You're going to get criticized. You have to learn to get that rhinoceros skin. You've got to learn to get tough. And guess how we get tough? We learn sometimes people can be nasty and negative, and you have to learn to keep on going in spite of it. I said, next, do not develop a persecuted complex. And how about this? Okay, can you take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 6. I'm going to read you Matthew chapter 5. You go to Luke chapter 6 and verse 32. Don't develop a persecuted complex when you're criticized. You go to Luke 6, and I'm going to read you Matthew 5. Just go to Luke 6. Let me read you Matthew 5. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're going to Luke 6. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What are we supposed to do when that happens? Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Look at Luke chapter 6. Look at verse number 32. Ready? For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. You mean your Christianity has never brought any criticism? It's never offended anybody? It's never convicted anybody to where they got angry at you and snapped back and said some things they shouldn't have said? Jesus said, when that happens, rejoice. I know, and that's not for cuckoo birds. That's for normal Christians. When you read Luke chapter 6, look at verse 33. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Watch this, verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. When you find somebody that's criticizing you and can't stand you, and you're really getting under their skin, could I just tell you, that's one of the rarest opportunities in your life that you have to love someone who hates you. And I love this statement, you've never loved someone until you love someone who hates you. Because they don't give anything back. You've never truly loved someone till you've loved someone who hates you. Because now you have to love and get nothing in return. That's an opportunity to grow as a Christian. instead of, which is going to lead to my next point, instead of, well, I'll get even with them. Say that about me. Put me that about me on the internet. How dare they do that and say this and do... Careful, Christian. Love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. It's a rare opportunity. Anybody who's going to try to do anything for God is always going to encounter criticism. Nehemiah, read the book of Nehemiah. It'll teach you the first thing that lost people do is they laugh at you. The next reaction they do when you try to live for the Lord is scorn. They start talking and making ugly statements. If you get criticized for the practice of your faith and your faith in the Lord, please know it has been happening throughout time. You are not the only one that it's happening to. How do you handle criticism? Number next, don't seek to get even. I'd like you to take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, do not seek to get even. I'm going to give you a very important truth, and I hope this helps you tonight. This is a Bible, but we're almost done. So, Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 17. Ready? Romans 12 and verse number 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, watch, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. That is not saying you're not supposed to be able to protect yourself. That is not saying if somebody breaks into your home, you should not protect your home and your family. That is not saying that. It's talking about when somebody does evil to you and is out to hurt you, don't take revenge on them. That's what it's saying. Avenge not yourselves. Look at verse number 20. Well, let me finish verse number 19. But rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And then watch this. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Very important what I'm getting ready to say. And I wish every Christian understood it. When you take vengeance into your own hands and you strike back, God doesn't. Every Christian ought to understand that. Well, I'll show them. They printed what? I'll show them. And then send. Now the whole world has it. When you take vengeance, God stops. God says, vengeance is mine. Oh, you want to take vengeance? You think you can do a better job than I can? Have at it. When God spanks, God does a much better job than I do. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Be very careful. You don't want, if somebody does mistreat you, that's why you pray for them, you treat them well, and you let God handle it. God's keeping the books. You know that, right? It's all written down. Nobody sins and gets away with it. Nobody. Don't take any vengeance. There's a better way to live. There's a better way to live. You should not fight destructive and hurtful comments with destructive and hurtful comments. Be not overcome of evil. Getting even, 99% of the time, gives credibility to what was said. Be very careful how you handle a critic. Proverbs 9, verse 8 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. When I find out somebody's a critic and they're negative, we don't have any in our church, praise the Lord, but we used to, and I knew better than to call somebody in my office and say, do you know how critical you are? Everything that comes out of your mouth from the time you hit the property till the time you leave is negative. God says, don't do that, lest he hate thee. They'll never see the error of their way. It's what they are. That's what they are. Reprove, not a scorner. Best thing you can do with a scorner is steer clear. Steer clear. The best response is normally no comment. You can't talk it out. They're doing what they are doing because of what they are. Jesus said in Matthew 15:14, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. Just let them alone. Let them alone. Well, I just need to give them a piece. We need to talk this out. There's some things you can't talk out. And it's not because it's anything that you did. It's what they are. That's what they are. And you can't change what somebody is. Ignoring it many times completely shows that what was said does not even merit a response and gives the perception that it was worthless. Every Christian needs to be taught that. And I watch people react, I think, in a sad way. Oh, they said something. Yeah, somebody said something about you. Here we go. Ready? Here's the last point. Take it to the Lord and leave it there. Take it to the Lord and leave it there. If you look at, can we end this? I want to go to two places. Go to Psalm 140 and look at the end of the chapter. He starts by saying, Lord, this is so painful. They've sharpened their tongues like serpents, and the adder's poison is under their lips. He says that in verse 3. Now look at Psalm 140 and look at verse number 12. Look at Psalm 140 and look at verse number 12. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Psalm 140, verse 13. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. In the first part of Psalm 140, David prays and he said, Lord, this hurts. This makes me sick. Now, Lord, please, Lord, execute judgment. And then at the end of the chapter, he says, you know what? Lord, I've gotten that off my chest. Now I'm going to leave it with you. After David talks to the Lord about these people, he then gives it to the Lord for God to handle. And that's what you should do too. If anybody criticizes you or says negative things, you need to learn to give it to the Lord and leave it there. Can we go to, let's go to Psalm, this is the last place we'll go to. Look at Psalm 7. I just want to show you this. Psalm 7, and look at verse. The Psalms are prayers. They're prayers. And Psalm chapter 7, look at verse number 9. I wish you could just think about this later. Oh, Psalm 7, verse 9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. But establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. And then I wish you'd mark this verse in your Bible. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. Lord, you heard what they said. I'm leaving it with you. And God took notes. My defense is of God. I don't want to take vengeance into my own hands. I don't want to strike back. My defense is of God. And what sometimes in life, and I don't expect you to have the things said about you that I've had said about me, but there have been times in the battles, sometimes in a battle of our church, when things were being said that were not true. The things I was being accused of was not true. They were totally unfounded. And I went to this verse in this chapter and I said, okay, God, I'm not going to lash out. My defense is of God. And Lord, I'm going to let you defend me. There's a song that I wish was in. This is the new Sword of the Lord hymn book here with the gold square on it. In the old Sword of the Lord hymnal, my wife and I sang a song. And I don't know if you've heard it, but I'll just sing you a verse in the chorus. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His Word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. It's not in our hymn book, but it's a good old song. And the truth is, what do you do when you're criticized? I think you need to consider the course, the source. I think you need to listen, but the main thing is when it's all done, take it to the Lord. God was taking notes, and leave it with the Lord. Leave it with the Lord. Don't take vengeance into your own hands. Don't strike out. How do you handle criticism? How do you handle criticism? I hope this is a help to you. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, You show us how to live.